Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining me now is our good friend from the Post-Gazette, Chris Carter. And Chris, I was talking about how difficult it is to sit here, 2 hours after dinner time and not really being able to eat. And watching these, you know, the women's tournament is on tonight, but it's the same sponsors as the men. And seeing these commercials for, I think it's Pizza Hut, these pepperoni pizza, every like 5 minutes. Every time I look up at the screen, one of the games is on a commercial, and it's a Pizza Hut commercial, and the pizza looks really good. And, of course, that doesn't help when you're hungry. But I said, and I theorized, if anybody knows a great pizza, it's got to be Chris Carter, correct?
Yes, sir.
I'm assuming you in your time have consumed some really, really good pizza, and sometimes even some large quantities of it.
Oh yes, I have been one that if you don't stop me, you might not have pizza left. I do like my pizza, and as an Alderdice grad, it's Mineo's all day, every day.
Absolutely, that is a really, really good point there. Of course. We got to see your adventures as you and Noah were all over the Midwest and the South, and you got a lot to eat, and you got a lot. And here's a question: when you were in Greensboro, did they have cookouts? And were you able to eat at a cookout?
They did have cookouts. We didn't go to them. We were trying like different things that were around the city. We had this really nice like Southern kitchen. Where I had like this honey salmon dish that was really good. We actually had the dinner where we posted up with a lot of the other pit writers. Jerry DePaula graced us with his presence. I think we were all like, wow, this is a pretty good place. So, I think that was kind of the place that that wowed me the most. I went to this one place called Bender's. It was like this little bar too. And they had fried and grilled wings. They called them frilled wings. And I was like, interesting. They weren't my favorite, but they were definitely different, and I enjoyed them. But yeah, there were a lot of different things. We didn't do cookout because we were like, I've been to North Carolina before. We've all done cookout. I was like, we're going to try to do some new stuff and see what else is around Greensboro.
No Zaxby's and all that, all those kind of places?
Nah. We wanted to try some newer stuff or places that like aren't necessarily chain, like, you know, big chains that we've experienced before. I'll tell you this much. I beat, Noah Howes was so distraught from how much I destroyed him in Papa Shot basketball and Boxcar Bar Arcade that we did not go at all once we returned to Greensboro. When we went there for the ACC tournament, I broke his spirit. I said, if he wants to get a redemption, we can go back. And every time he kept making excuses, we never went back.
Well, I could see that. I mean, obviously, you must have embarrassed him, and he didn't. He didn't want any more of the smoke. That's just how it is.
None of the smoke.
At any rate, you clearly have yet to get to spring practice, I would assume, unless they had one today. Did they have one today, or is it tomorrow?
If they did, I was driving back from Greensboro.
Oh,
today,
okay, so yes.
So
anyway, you haven't been at spring football yet, but, I mean, we talked a little bit with Noah about the actual basketball, but I was going to ask you about spring football. I mean, it's getting ready to start. Is there a legitimate, true competition at quarterback, or is it going to be Phil Jerkovic's job? How do you say Jerkovic? Is it going to be his job to lose?
I think it's Phil's job to lose. You know, they're not going to say that. They're going to kind of toe the line. a lot like how they did with Keaton Slovis and Nick Patty last year, you know, to say, hey, there's a competition. They're going to see. The only Phil wouldn't get the job is if, like, something went really wrong. Like, if he was just having a really bad time, if he got hurt and then never recovered. Like it would take something drastic in my mind for Phil to not be the star. Christian, I think, is going to be fine. Like, there's nothing wrong that he's going to do there. But, yeah, I think Phil – this is Phil's job as long as he doesn't mess a whole lot up. And I think Phil's been waiting for an opportunity like this for a while. You know, he was doing his thing at Boston College, but now he's come to Pitt to have some success, and he wants to do it in his hometown. I think that he's raring to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. He's a guy that has had a little bit of bad luck with injuries, but part of that is probably because Boston College's offensive line was so atrocious last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's taken a lot of hits. He's also, you know, one thing that's funny, when his time, a lot of Pittsburghers will compare him to Ben Roethlisberger when you saw him play. You know, I was there, ooh, what was it? It's been three, it'll be 3 years this next fall. But so I guess 2.5 years ago, when in 2020, Pitt went down to Boston College and then lost in overtime because they missed an extra point. But Phil Jurkovec, I mean, people were comparing him to Big Ben with the way that he played, because he would just shrug off hits and let off like a 50-yard bomb, and he would find ways to make crazy plays. But I think what's going to be interesting is, you know, can they channel that athleticism and get it to work within Frank Cignetti's offense and get some rhythm to it? Because I think that was the biggest problem when Frank Cignetti was at Boston College with the offensive line issues that they had. It was tough to get him in a rhythm because he had to keep adjusting and he had to keep dodging, and they had to kind of, you know, think on his feet. You know, in ways that kind of, that went outside of just traditional quarterbacking. He had to keep himself alive. Pitt's been, you know, doing a consistent job of recruiting offensive linemen. Dave Bordley's done a great job. He's got guys. They still got guys like Jake Cradle on there. They're going to be a really competitive offensive line, and I think that they're going to be a group that protects him and opens up holes for guys like Rodney Hammond in that backfield. So I think that they'll be just fine.
Yeah, when you look at Pitt's football team as a whole, you know, obviously, you know, although I don't know that quarterback is really that big of a – it seems like they've filled it adequately. Other than that, what are some other positions they're going to – obviously that they're going to have to find answers for this spring and in the training camp?
You know, I want to see who steps up as the leader of the linebacker group. Servasio Dennis has kind of been that guy the last 2 years, and he's held it down – both schematically as a person who understands the responsibilities of linebacker, but also as a playmaker. And they got some guys like Solomon DeShields and Bengali Kamara, who they have, you know, we saw more of Kamara last year as well as more of DeShields. Now, those are guys that they, you know, we talked to them last year when they started to get more playing time, and they were like, man, we've been waiting for this. We've been working hard on special teams, waiting for our chance to shine. I think this is going to be the year where both of them get prominent roles, and you're going to see them kind of usher in the new era of Pitt linebackers. And you've got a bunch of athletic guys. You know, I think that that's going to be a really big challenge. I'll be intrigued to see who steps up on the interior of the offensive line. I also think it's time for the Deion Hayes show, the Pittsburgh kid himself from Westinghouse High School. You know, I think that he has flashed his potential here and there, but Pitt has been extremely deep at defensive end, so he hasn't had a chance to kind of be the star. And I think that we saw how strong he ended the season against Miami. I think that he is going to be a guy that makes a lot of big plays for Pitt this season. There's still going to be a team that gets after the quarterback. There's still going to be a team that plays aggressive. And, you know, I think that their corners all coming back is really helpful. I'm really intrigued to see how Javon McIntyre and that safety group does, especially with Donovan McMillan coming into town. There's a lot of depth on this team, and I'm very intrigued to get my first, you know, in-person look at how it's all working out in spring camp tomorrow morning.
Yep. I think it's going to be interesting just sort of to see how all this team comes together. There are a number of really good players that have sort of moved on, but back-to-back really good seasons, a couple of good recruiting classes. Are we at the point, Chris, where we can say Pitt has really become legitimately a program?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think Pat Narduzzi's been building something for years, and I think Kenny Pickett staying helped to get on a much bigger stage. But then it also, I think it gave a lot of people confidence, like, hey, like, this program isn't just, you know, the 7-8 win program. They can go on a really good run. And if they stick to the style of play, I think that's another big thing. These coaches have been preaching this style of play and sticking to the script and following things for a long time. But, you know, it gets tough because, you know, they play in the ACC, and the ACC is competitive. And sometimes when you lose games, young players, they'll start to think like, man, like, what if what they've been saying isn't the way? You know, what if we, you know, what if I can do things my way? And, you know, that leads to some detractors, and it makes it tougher for the locker room to get together, to come together. But as Mike Tomlin has often talked about, you know, I think that the generation that really helped fix that was the Kenny Pickett, DeMar Hamlin generation for Pitt. And they were the group that kind of said, hey, let's lock in. Let's buy in and be who we're supposed to be and who the coaches are trying to make us be. And since then, since they've bought in, I think Pitt's become a much more complete team, a much more team that understands their identity, and that has allowed them to find more success in the football field. So I think that that's a big part of it. And Pat Narduzzi deserves a lot of credit for getting guys to buy into his system. I know there's people out there that still disagree with some of his decisions on the field here and there, but that happens with every coach in all of football. I think that by and large, he deserves a lot of credit for manifesting the culture that has brought the success that Pitt has. And I think this year is going to continue that culture. Be very intrigued to see how many wins they can get out of it.
Yeah, there's no question. Chris does the Locked On Steelers podcast as well. Chris, have you gotten a chance? I know you've been really tied up with Pitt Hoops. Have you gotten a chance to digest some of the moves the Steelers have made, and what are your thoughts on them?
Absolutely. And I actually talked about it for this morning's episode about Isaac Samalo. I think that Omar Khan is doing a really good job, him and Andy Weidel, to fortify the interior of the offensive line. And if nothing else, that signifies that the outside of the offensive line, the offensive tackles, are coming up soon. And I don't think they're going to sign them. I think they're going to draft these guys. But, I mean, look at the money that they're paying for these guys. It's not that expensive when you compare it to, like, guys like Orlando Brown, who gave up among the most pressures in the NFL last year as an offensive tackle. Still a talented guy for the Chiefs last year, but the Bengals paid $64 million over 4 years for him. That's big money for him there. The Steelers paying Samalo, they're paying him a decent rate. Nick Herbig's getting a decent rate. Like, everything's reasonable. They're not breaking the bank. They're not, overspending themselves and putting them in a bind. I think that they're making reasonable signings. They know that if they want to bring a pillar type of offensive tackle who can be a huge part of the offense and be a star player, you want to draft that guy. You want to develop that guy. You want to bring that guy in as on a 5-year rookie deal or a 4-year rookie deal and let him build with your offense that's going to have leaders and veterans to help show them the way. I really think that all the moves that we see, especially on offense, just signify the Steelers are going to gear up, go get their big offensive tackle in the first or the second round, and that's going to be a big part of what they do moving forward to be a more run-balanced team in 2023.
I think that there's some people that are confused that when they're bulking up their line and doing some of the move, making some of the moves that they make, that this means that the Steelers are going to go try and go back to playing Stone Age sort of, tough guy, 3 yards in a cloud of dust football. That's not the case, is it?
No, it's not. It's more of a run balance type of thing. And when I say run balance, I mean, passing is definitely on the field. This is not a 3 yards in a cloud of dust type of offense. This is a, hey, you know what? Look at how the Eagles played and got to the Super Bowl and were one Jalen Hurts fumble return for a touchdown for maybe winning the Super Bowl. Look at how the Niners played until they lost. They were down to their fourth and fifth string quarterbacks in the NFC Championship game. There's teams out there that are playing this way. They're playing great defense, investing in their offensive line, investing at running back, and saying, hey, let's make it balanced so there's not a lot of pressure on the quarterback to have to carry the team at all times. And one thing that worked out for the Eagles is that Jalen Hurts could carry the team at times, and that really helped them out a lot this season. But the Steelers, they think Kenny Pickett can get to the point where he can carry a team. That's why they drafted him. But until then, it takes time to get there. It took Ben time to get there. I think that they want to make sure that this is the type of team that can kind of keep a balance, keep the pressure off of him. And frankly, Paul, I really think that people underestimate how the history of the NFL works. You know, we always talk about how it's a copycat league. But you know what happens when the league becomes a copycat league? Everyone has the same weaknesses as well as the same strengths. And one thing that we're seeing is that, linebackers like the Steelers tried to get with Devin Bush, a lot of players on the field, they're smaller, they're quicker, they're better at covering the pass because there are quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Aaron Rodgers, and those are the guys that everyone talks about and tries to prepare for. But when you get smaller players that are quicker and doing those type of things, those type of players aren't the best against the run. And that's why you see some of these teams finding success by running the football. The Steelers aren't going to pound you into submission every single game. It's not going to go back to the 90s Jerome Bettis days, but it's going to give you a healthy dose. It's going to keep you on your toes, keep you balanced, and allow for Kenny Pickett to live off of play action more. And I think with a better offensive line, you're going to see a little bit more aggression on the play calling to kind of let Kenny Pickett open things up because they're going to be able to trust their offensive line because they'll have invested more in it. So I think it's a multi-layered attack. I talked about this for the Monday episode. We'll talk a little bit more for the Tuesday episode that I'll be recording with Alan Saunders later tonight. I think that's a huge part of it is they are preparing for the pendulum that is swinging back towards, you know, more NFL teams finding ways to attack defenses by being good at running the football and then basing the pass off of that.
Right. And that's the big thing about it. Chris, I appreciate you jumping on and having a lot of different really good nuggets for us. And hopefully, you know, you can get Noah to play that game with you again so you can beat him one more time.
Hey, you know, I'll keep beating him anytime that he challenges me. It's totally fine. Just to make you hungry, Paul, just letting you know I'm getting some Wingstop right now. So that doesn't make you too much more hungry.
Well, I don't have – thankfully, I don't have a visual like I do with, you know, these Pizza Hut commercials or whatever they are. Hey, Chris, I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. It's Chris Carter from the Post-Gazette on Paul's Ice. It's 93.7 The Fan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, a little Boogie Wonderland for you. Get down a little bit to it, right? As I always say, a little earth, wind, and fire. Good for the soul. We could all use some soul food. Especially nowadays. You know, we are really a divided country in many, many ways. And I'm going to tell you, some of these things are self-inflicted wounds. James Reimer is a goalie for the San Jose Sharks. And, of course, Saturday night, they had, Pride Night for this, you know, at the Sharks. You know, where they wear the jerseys that support the, you know, they have the LGBTQIA+ community. I think they keep adding letters. I don't even know what all these letters mean, but regardless, LGBTQIA+ community, right? So they had Pride Night. They decided to, you know, and this keeps coming up in hockey. And the Pride Night, they feature, you know, love wins and the rainbow thing and all the other stuff. Well, Reimer said that he didn't want to wear the jersey. For the 13 years of my NHL career, I've been a Christian, not just in title, but in how I choose to live my life daily, a personal faith in Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sins, a response, ask my love of everyone, follow him. I have no hate in my heart for anyone. I have always strived to treat everyone that I can encounter with respect and kindness. In this specific instance, I'm choosing not to endorse something that is counter to my personal convictions, which are based on the Bible, the highest authority in my life. Strongly believe that every person has value and worth in the LGBTQIA+ community, like all others, should be welcomed in all aspects of the game of hockey. Nothing about that statement is disrespectful. Nothing about that statement is hateful. Nothing about that statement is bigoted. Nothing about that statement is suggesting that, you know, he thinks that people who are in that community are lesser. Okay? Nothing. He just, his personal religious beliefs, he just feels like, you know what, I shouldn't have to participate in this, you know, ceremony, which is what it is. No matter how many different ways you want to slice it up, it's a ceremony of some sort. It's like a parade. It's like a, you know, you are having a, you know, you're making a statement. Well, it's clearly a statement he's not, you know, really all that comfortable with, just from the standpoint of, you know what, his personal beliefs, he just, there's certain things about that lifestyle that go contrary to his beliefs. And here's the thing, it's nobody's job to tell him how he can or should practice his religion. But that's not the, you know, I've already been over this a number of times. That's not the thing that really grinds my gears about this. What grinds my gears about this is that these teams continue and leagues continue to do this. They continue to put these athletes in places where they have to make these kinds of statements, or they have to be, because they keep continuing to try to force them into being pawns for whatever it is that they're trying to virtue signal about, or whatever. And I would say the same thing if it was faith night. And that's what I say to people. Here's how I can tell if you really understand the most important issue here. If you're somebody that, you know, you think that this, and again, I don't care about stuff like this. I don't. I really, in terms of, you know, the jersey thing and this and that, whatever. My point is, if you're somebody who adamantly believes that this goalie should be made to wear this jersey, so if what you're saying is, if it was faith night and every player was forced to wear a cross, and on the cross it said Jesus saves, are you saying that then you would also then say that everybody should be forced to do that? Because I would be willing to bet your answer would be no. And it should be no. And it's the same damn thing. It's the same damn thing with Colin Kaepernick and not wanting to stand for the flag. There's no, you know, he didn't want to stand for the flag for, you know, whatever his personal beliefs are. You can think they're crazy, or you can think that he's wrong, or you can think that he's doing this or that and the other thing. It doesn't matter, because that was his personal choice and personal beliefs. But you can't have it both ways. You can't say, you know what, Colin Kaepernick, he should be allowed to sit out of the national anthem, and he should be allowed to protest the national anthem, and he should be allowed to whatever, have his beliefs, because those are his beliefs. And he's not hating on the United States. He's not hating or disrespecting troops. He's just basically saying, I don't feel comfortable participating in that particular ceremony. It's the same exact thing. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Okay? Teams need to stop this crap. They need to stop making players have to explain themselves with this crap. And when I say crap, I mean all of it. The, you know, the pseudo-patriotism, the, you know, we got to all now wear military uniforms. We've got to do this. We've got to be on the field for the national anthem. Listen, if it was up to me, there'd be no national anthem before the games, because I wouldn't want any of my players to have to make this decision and then have to explain it to a bunch of people that don't really want to hear the answer. This James Reimer said nothing wrong here. Nothing. There's nothing hateful. There's nothing bigoted. There's nothing disrespectful. He said, you have your ceremony. You know, it's wonderful. I'm just not going to participate. And that should be his right. And that should be the end of it. But it's hilarious. We have all of these, you know, woke types who are out here now who want to try and explain how he's supposed to, and Christians are supposed to practice their religion. And, you know, what? Oh, well, you know, it seems like he's very selective in which part of the Bible he wants to. How do you know that? Shut up. Seriously, shut up. This is not a hard thing. It isn't. If he doesn't want to participate in the ceremony, he shouldn't have to. You know what? You want to know why more than any other reason? Because this is the United States of America. And despite the best efforts of the people in charge the last 4 or 5 years, guess what? It's still a free country. And you shouldn't have to explain your beliefs just because there's a group, an angry mob of people who are out here looking to cancel anybody that isn't on board with what they have to say. And more importantly, anybody that isn't on board with being as active as they are. Man, you can buy, you know, again, you can have the same feelings that, hey, you know what? We want it to be inclusive in terms of hockey. We want it to be welcoming and all that other stuff. I'm just not going to participate in this because I've got some personal beliefs that are religious based that, you know what? I can't reconcile them with some of the things that are going on. You don't have to like that you don't have to agree with it. Guess what? I'm not asking you to come to my church. I'm not asking you to worship in my church. I'm not asking you to join my religion. I'm not asking any of that. I'm asking you to respect my beliefs the same way you want me to respect yours. That's all this is. And it's how it should be. It's absolutely how it should be. And it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's the national anthem, whether it's the, you know, the patriotism stuff, whether it's a faith night where you're going to, you know, force players to participate. How about stop all of this nonsense? Stop putting players in this position. That's real simple. You want to know how you handle? And here's the other thing, okay? Here's the other thing. I'm going to let you in a little secret, right? These kinds of nights, these kinds of theme nights, right? Like, for instance, this Pride night. It's not about inclusion. It's not about celebrating diversity. It's not about, oh, reaching out to it. You know what it's about? It's about marketing and trying to sell tickets to a demographic that has not yet been mined by the NHL. It's about growing the game, growing the fan base. That's what this stuff is about. That's why there's that's why there's faith nights. That's why there's Italian nights. That's why there is, you know, whatever. Because that is, and that's why, for instance, the NBA plays games in Japan and the NFL plays games in England. Because they're trying to find more fans who are going to be interested, who are going to give TV ratings, who are going to buy tickets, buy merchandise. That's what they're trying to cultivate here. So all of these ridiculous things are, you know, they act like, and it's the same thing with, you know, the military. They're being intertwined with sports. It's 100% about recruiting for the military. I mean, give me a break, will you please? I just wish people would stop being so disingenuous about stuff. And at the end of the day, call it the way it is. Call it what it is. Call a spade, however you want to say it, okay? That's the reality of the situation. Period. That's the reality of the situation. But for these players to have to deal with this kind of nonsense, and these players to have to go out and basically say, you know, well, this is why I'm believing this way, or this is why I believe this way, or this is what I have to do and everything else. Well, I mean, what are we talking about here? Seriously. This story burned my ass, but it burned my ass more when I saw the reaction from a lot of different people, you know, on social media, a lot of different media types, a lot of different, how come you don't follow all the teaching of the Old Testament? How come you don't do this? How come you don't do? How about stop telling people how they're supposed to practice their religion and their faith? How about that? Could we do that? Could we do that? It's a free country. It's a free country where freedom of expression, freedom of speech, these are things we used to value. That's the reality of the situation. Freedom of religion. And here's the other thing I'll say, because you know what? I'm on a roll already. I'm probably in hot water as it is. I don't give a damn. Do you think if, for instance, James Reimer was black and Muslim and made the same stance, that there would be the outcry that there is? Or, you know, the Russian guy from the Flyers? If he was from some African country and he had the same exact response, do you think there would be nearly the outcry? There wouldn't be, and you know there wouldn't be. But, of course, Reimer is a white Christian, and, of course, he's a white Christian male. And so, therefore, you know what? That's the demographic of a group that we've decided is evil and capable of being always being criticized. It's ridiculous. Again, we live in a free country and a free society. You know what that means? It means you have to respect people that maybe have different opinions than you, and respect people that look different than you, that live different than you. But it has to go both ways. It has to go both ways. So spare me the, you know, inclusivity crap. If you're one of these people giving James Reimer a hard time, then you don't know what the word means. And you don't give a damn about inclusivity and diversity. You're just a woke virtue signaler who really believes that it's either your way and your way of thinking or you're wrong. And that's crap.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Joel, do you see up here on the screen? They just had the streaks for some of these women's teams getting to the Sweet 16. Did you happen to see what Connecticut's is?
It's probably longer than Stanford's.
Well, Stanford had the 14 years in a row they went to the Sweet 16 and had that snapped yesterday, right? Connecticut has been to the Sweet 16. Are you ready for this? 29 years in a row.
That's double Stanford. That's crazy.
29 years in a row.
Coach Gino, man.
And in fact,
that's something else.
And in fact, if they get to the Final Four this year, I think it'll be 15 in a row. That's absurd.
15 Final Fours in a row.
Yes.
That's absurd.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't care who you're playing. You know, if people come and go. You've got injuries, a bounce of the ball. You know what I mean? There's been a couple years where they haven't been that good. I mean, I don't think they're that good this year. But my point is, to get to 15 Final Fours in a row, I don't care who you are, what league you're in, and who you're playing against. That is ridiculous.
Some coaches will, you know, they'll coach for 15, 20, 30 some years and never make the Final Four.
Or Jim Boeheim, you know, and again, it's different because it's the men. I get it. But Jim Boeheim was a head coach for 47 years. He played in 5 Final Fours. Think about that. 14 in a row. I mean, you know, and again, just like this whole thing like yesterday with Mississippi knocking off Stanford, those games are happen all the time in the NCAA tournament, you know, and you got to figure Connecticut had a bunch of along the way. They've had some close games and close calls and games they've had to pull out to win 4 games, 15 in the NCAA tournament, 15 years in a row is absolutely absurd.
Yeah. It's hard to even fathom such a streak like that.
Right. I mean, and 29 in a row to the Sweet 16 is just stupid. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I don't care. Listen, I don't care what anybody says. That's ridiculous.
Well, all right. So which one do you think is more impressive, 29 consecutive Sweet 16s or 15 Final Fours?
You know what? I think 29. No, I think 15 Final Fours. Because the thing is, in the second weekend, you're playing two good, really good teams. You know, if you're Connecticut, you're playing a lot of home games your first two rounds, right? Because a lot of times the women's tournament, you're at home. They're always the top 1, 2, 3 seed, you know what I mean? So they're probably playing at home against low seeds. So I would say probably the most impressive thing, I would say 15 Final Fours in a row.
Yeah, we've seen how hard this season for March Madness it is to just make the Sweet 16.
Right.
Teams like Kansas and whichever the other one seed that failed to make it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, even Marquette was a 2 seed, weren't they?
Yeah.
And they went home. Purdue, obviously, is the other one. Purdue didn't even get out of the first round. So
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think part of that is always to me one of those situations where you got to figure that it's probably going to be really difficult to get all the way through to the Final Four, but to do it 15 years in a row is incredible. That means you've never been upset.
Yeah, I mean, you get to the tournament and you're on a win streak.
Yes.
To make it all the way to there.
I made you win is what that means. Absolutely. It means that you are a team that wins.
It's still a little unbelievable, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, how, what, they haven't won a championship since 17, right, UConn?
Right.
Even though they've made it to, I mean, the Final Four every year, you know, since that 2017 championship, of course.
And they've lost twice in the Final Four on buzzer beaters. You know, I mean, it's been pretty incredible. But either way, I think one of the things, the biggest misconceptions when it comes to the NCAA tournament is what wins in the NCAA tournament. And at the end of the day, what you need to do in the NCAA tournament is be able to score. You need to have good guard play. You obviously need to be able to defend and get stops, but it's more about getting key stops than it is about, you know, locking teams down and playing defense. I mean, when Pitt beat Iowa State the other day, I watched that game, and I didn't come away with it thinking that Pitt really did something spectacular on defense. I came away with it thinking that Iowa State's coach better go out and recruit guys that can shoot it. Because that was their biggest problem.
They looked like Iowa football out there.
Exactly. And I got the impression, to be honest, that Pitt's defense could have left the field, that left the court, and Iowa State would have still struggled to score 55 or 60 points. Because you have to be able to score. It's why, honestly, if you think about it, it's why Virginia goes home early almost every year. It's not necessarily that they can't score. It's not necessarily that. It's that they want to play at a pace. And they want to play the games in the 50s and the 60s.
You can only get away with that for so long.
Exactly. And the other part of it is, if you play in the 50s, Joel, guess what? If you have if is superior talent to me, and you play in the 50s, right? Because you're trying to slow the game down and present like Virginia does. If you're playing in the 50s and you have superior talent to me, you guess what? I can get to the 50s. Couple of threes go my way. Couple of balls bounce my way. I get one or two runouts, and the next thing you know, I can get to the 50s with inferior talent.
Like, if you're having an off night on defense, like, you're toast. You're done.
Right.
You can't afford that.
Right. But my point is, if I'm one of these smaller schools, the reason they always seem to upset these teams, and we saw it how many years in a row with Pitt, the reason they always seem to upset these teams that play that way is because those teams leave them hanging around. If you're a team that wants to go out there and, you know, just sort of kick somebody's ass and you want to get up and down a little bit and you're not afraid to let it fly and you want to score and you're able to score and you can score from multiple positions and you kind of play with a little bit of pace, guess what? If you're a team that can get into the 60s and 70s, it's very, very difficult for, you know, a team with inferior talent to win those kind of games. Not that it never happens. Not that it never happens. But the reality is, most of the time, that's what happens when there's these upsets. You know, is teams don't make other teams chase them. They don't suggest, hey, I've got superior talent, so what I'm going to do, guess what? What I'm going to do, I'm going to make sure that my talent, we use it, you know, to our advantage. And we're going to try and make the game fast. Purdue scored 58 points. 58 points. Gonzaga scored 82. So even though Grand Canyon scored 70 against Gonzaga, Gonzaga beat them. Right? UConn beat Iona. UConn scored 87. So it didn't matter that Iona scored 63. Xavier scored 72, and they needed all of them to beat Kennesaw State. But if any of these schools would have struggled, you know, to get into the 60s, they were in danger of going home. That's just how it is. You look at the teams that kind of walked out of there and they just, you know, blew the doors off of whoever they were going to play against. Arizona scored 55, and guess what? Princeton played the game of their lives to score 59. Virginia scored 67, so they did get into the 60s. But at the end of the day, it was a typical Virginia game where, you know, possessions were limited a little bit. It makes it tough. You got to be able to score. And if you can't score, it's hard to win.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.